This year, health reform was dominated by the marketplace, and one of the most successful healthcare companies was a hospital chain called Columbia HCA. The company started with two hospitals in 1988, now it has 350, and is the nation's largest provider of healthcare. The man behind it, Rick Scott, has been called Attila the Hun and Darth Vader because of his business tactics. NPR's Joanne Silberner reports.
Rick Scott is 43 years old. He's pleasant and quiet and unassuming. So it's hard to imagine that some members of the health establishment see him as the face behind the mask of Darth Vader.
I think that the concern everyone has is that we're perceived as a change agent. And they look at what's happened to cities that we've been in. You know, it's no fun. Most industries don't like to change very rapidly. This one's no different.
Those cities he's gone into, Scott says, now have better health care because he's introduced efficiencies from the world of business. The more hospitals he has, the more he can buy in bulk, offer discounts to insurers, and reinvest in computers and information systems that allow his hospitals to keep track of what they're doing. Others may tremble every time he buys another hospital, but it's helping him to do something no other hospital has successfully done, create a national brand name.
We believe we are more committed to measure and improving outcomes, measure and improving patient satisfaction, and not wasting dollars. And so we believe we can create a brand that if you need health care, you will want to come to a Columbia facility or ask for a Columbia home health, because you'll know that you're part of a system that has very good measurements and it's worried about you as a patient.
In fact, one of the models he uses is Walmart.
We all know that healthcare is different than selling a good, but I think that what you have to admire about companies like Walmart and other companies is their consistency. And they're focused on quality, they're focused on service, they're focused on cost.
But healthcare is a necessity, not a competitive commercial enterprise, says Bill Cox. Even if a hospital isn't making money, patients still need it. Cox is executive vice president of the Catholic Health Association, which won't allow any of its members to be controlled by Columbia HCA.
We don't mind it when Walmart and Sears and other retailers go at it and drive down the price of video cassettes. We have found over time that it generally maintains they generally have to maintain the quality of those cassettes or whatever other service they're cutting or product they're cutting prices on. And if something untoward happens, we can do without it. It's not going to have that large of an impact in our lives. But healthcare is different.
What worries Cox is hospitals that can't compete or don't make money won't survive in a community that Scott sets his sights on.
This debate is about the long-term stability of a basic health care service that every community should have access to in the United States. Because unless you have access to health care, our communities are significantly diminished. Our capacity as individuals to compete if we're sick and we can't get health care is diminished significantly. Our ability to achieve our human potential is diminished significantly. And on something as basic as health care, we want to make sure that it's there tomorrow.
In fact, Scott's critics have a hard time naming a hospital that's closed because of cutthroat competition from Columbia HCA. Scott has bought failing hospitals and closed them himself in order to get more patients to go to other hospitals he owns in the same area. That increases capacity, efficiency, and profitability of the remaining Columbia hospital. Scott says it's not his intent to prevent people from getting hospital care.
Oh, I don't think you're talking about closures of hospitals in small towns. As we see across the country, there are sometimes two, sometimes three, sometimes four hospitals right across the street from each other. They each have an emergency room, each have a laboratory, each have a radiology suite, they each do bypass surgery. Now, do you think that they all have the same quality, patient satisfaction, cost, and compassion? It's impossible.
Health economists agree that there are too many empty hospital beds, and some hospitals should close. As long as Scott stuck to buying other privately owned hospitals, there was little criticism. But in the last year or so, he started buying up hospitals owned by communities. Here's where the Darth Vader analogy comes in. His critics accuse him of coming into town, swooping down on the hospital board, and pressuring the board into a deal. In fact, during negotiations with Columbia, several hospital boards have fired members opposed to the sale. Rick Scott says that's the hospital board's doing. As for secrecy, he's not the only company looking for a deal on a hospital. Journalist Robert Kuttner, who's looked at competition in the healthcare industry, says that's just the point.
If it is going to be sold, the way you find out what it's really worth is to invite competing bids, whereas Columbia's interest is in expediting this as quickly and as quietly as possible. So to the extent that a hospital is something other than a, you know, Dunkin' Donut shop, it's not just a money-making institution. It is that, but it is a lot of other things too. To the extent that it's a community institution, a charitable institution, as well as a profit center, there is a community interest in having this process be a bit more leisurely with a bit more citizen input.
One of the main concerns about the takeover of not-for-profit hospitals is what happens to the charity care they provide. Columbia's critics say with stockholders dissatisfied, Columbia can't provide as much free care as a not-for-profit that only needs to break even. But Scott says his for-profit hospitals provide plenty of free care.
You go to a place like Las Vegas, to our hospital there, we have the neonatology unit in Las Vegas. A third of our patients that come in there have no ability to pay. It's brand new babies, no ability to pay, or little ability to pay. We take care of all of them.
Scott points out that when he converts a not-for-profit to a for-profit hospital, it starts paying taxes. Columbia's total tax bill last year was $1.6 billion, he says. But his critics worry not just that he'll change the nature of the hospitals he controls. Robert Kuttner, author of a critical profile in the New England Journal of Medicine on the impact of Columbia HCA, says that by injecting high-pressure, big-business tactics into healthcare, Scott also forces other hospitals to change their mission.
Rick Scott is perpetrating a self-fulfilling prophecy by forcing institutions that started out as more charitable and more community-minded to play pretty much the way he plays in order to survive against the kind of competitive tactics that he's brought to the hospital industry. Nobody used to call the hospital industry an industry.
It's hard to measure Scott's impact on the overall system. Take the accusation that Columbia HCA lays off nursing staff to save money. Virtually all hospitals have been downsizing their nursing staffs, and there are no data to show whether Columbia does it more or less than others. Over the last few years, admission rates to other hospitals have been flat or down, but Columbia has been marketing to the public and to doctors, and its admission rates have been increasing. Competition between hospitals for patients is new, a product of the effort to cut health care costs. To the Catholic Health Association's Bill Cox, competition does not belong in health care.
He referred to one of our hospitals in Richmond, Virginia, as the enemy. And it's hard to imagine St. Mary's Hospital in Richmond, Virginia, as the enemy of anyone. It's providing an extraordinary community service. And, of course, what he meant was that it's an enemy in the context of price competition. We want to go out in that market, he was saying, to his hospital and beat St. Mary's at its game. We want to be better than them. We want to be the dominant facility in this market, so they're the enemy.
Scott says he never used the word enemy, but competition, he says, is something they're going to have to learn to live with.
We have Catholic hospitals that try to attract our patients, and we try to attract their patients. I'm sure they at times believe they do a better job than we do, and we believe we do a better job than they do.
What's at the root of the criticism of Columbia HCA and Rick Scott is a larger question, whether capitalism is good for health care. Again, Bill Cox.
I think he's a capitalist. There's nothing wrong with capitalism except when it gets into an area of that's related to such a basic service. And I think our concern is that capitalism, just by its very nature, is not loyal to communities. It is not loyal to professionals who work in healthcare organizations, not loyal to the long-term needs of patients.
But health economist Uwe Reinhardt of Princeton University says hospital chains like Columbia HCA have to do a good job if they're going to survive.
If you think about capitalism as a way of organizing a society, the only way capitalists can really make money is to please customers, right? It doesn't work any other way. So unless there were ways to welch on quality in a way that customers, patients, and their doctors wouldn't notice, it would be impossible for them to lower quality standards.
In fact, Columbia HCA's hospitals generally score very well on measurements by the Joint Commission on the Accreditation of Healthcare Organizations and other groups. Reinhardt says in a world where the government, insurance companies, businesses, and patients who pay for healthcare want to bring prices down, people better get used to thinking of healthcare as a business and one that has to be run efficiently. After all, he says, not-for-profit hospitals haven't done such a good job of holding costs down.
Let's not forget, ours is the most expensive healthcare system in the world. We're spending 14% of the GNP on healthcare. Canada, the second most expensive nation, spends only 10. So when people come and exploit this huge margin for their own profit, sure, you can be envious, but you should also ask yourself sometimes, maybe they're doing something that society needs to get done, and maybe that's why they're getting rich.
Columbia has proven a fierce and successful competitor, but it hasn't been profit-taking, at least not yet. It's been paying dividends of only a few cents a share. As for Rick Scott, he doesn't care what people call what he's doing.
I don't know what anyone's definition of a capitalist is. You're going to go to the facility because you believe your daughter's going to come out alive. The operation's going to work. She's going to get treated with respect. People are going to be nice to her. And it's going to be a place that you can afford the health care. That's what you care about as a parent.
Many of the fears of Columbia's critics boil down to this. While nothing awful has happened yet, it could in the future. Wall Street on a whim could pull its support from Columbia's stock, leaving the company no capital to invest. Or hospital income could go much lower. Or the company could stop reinvesting its profits. Then, cash-strapped hospitals might provide less charity care, or less clean hospitals, or understaffed wards. But Scott puts his trust in the marketplace idea that he'll always be able to run a successful business so long as he provides a high-quality product at a low cost. This is Joanne Silberner in Washington.